the world seems like a hopeless place. A perfect picture of a hopeless case. Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in. Till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive, and we are coming to you live on this August 16th. And let me bring the men up. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, Richard.
And welcome back. And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Well, good evening, Richard and Ralph from Oklahoma.
And just so you know, we had some problems here, but we're getting the stream out and getting it out live, and I'll stand by on the phone lines and let you know when your callers call in.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Richard.
Well, Luke 12:12 says, for that Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. So if the Holy Spirit can teach us in that very hour what we ought to say, I have faith the Holy Spirit can make this hour go out across the broadcast so everybody can hear it. So we declare that, Lord, that your perfect will would be upon this broadcast and that it would still get out. So these testimonies to your wondrous works that are done in your name can get out to edify others so we can overcome the enemy, because we overcome it. How? By the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Pastor? I love that. Yep. Yes.
I was just going to say good evening. We haven't really talked much lately.
No, we haven't. No, you've been busy on that end, but I love that Luke 12:12, and I claim that quite a bit. Whatever, and there's some meeting coming up, or even this show, I already claimed it. And, you know, nothing like yielding to the Holy Spirit and just letting him use us as a vessel. Praise God.
That's the key there, is the yielding. When the Holy Spirit's working with you and you yield to it, you really don't have to worry about what to say, because the words will just flow to you. I know that for many years I always thought, well, I know we're supposed to be trained to be ready in season and out of season. That is very, very important, to know your scriptures, to know where they're at, to be able to, so you can flip to them when need be. But it seems to me that whenever God has sent someone to me to talk, I never have to worry about it, because he teaches me in that very hour what I need to say to them, what I need for them to hear, and be able to help them and bring that peace and comfort that comes. So we are very grateful for the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is a ministry that when you finally figure it out and tap into it, it kind of makes things a lot easier.
Oh, amen, for sure. You know, who are we to do this, Ralph? But through the Holy Spirit, he counsels, directs, leads us in truth, and shows us what to say. Hallelujah. Well, we had a big week down here on Monday night. Would you believe 26 cases? Well, I hadn't had one that big in quite a while. We were shy of ministers. Some of them were done earlier, starting like around 6, and some of the private rooms. And we don't get into the main ministry until like around 8. So that was how the score added up. But it was a full evening. Full evening, and a lot of happy people left, as usual. So that drives us on to the next week. And you know, it's funny, it's been one week at a time for 33 years here on Monday night, and I still can't believe it says 33 years. We formed the ministry in 84 and started doing these Monday night sessions, and my gosh, here it is 2017. How'd it get to here? It's a one week at a time, but when you're having fun, it goes fast, and we all are fulfilled in letting the Lord use us and minister to these hurting people. It's we all go home on highs and with a feeling of self-worth. I never got this same feeling in the mortgage business and the other things that I've done in my life. This is where the greatest joy is. I did a five-hour one on Saturday, and of course Monday night, and then I did one today at the office. It's been busy.
That's a good thing.
Well,
busy about the Lord's business is a good time to be busy when you're doing His business.
Yes, and I hope to have some of those that I ministered to on the show here in the coming weeks, and have them give their testimony on what went on. And I know there's people out there that argue that Christians cannot have demons, but I always have to say I've been casting demons out of Christians for 39 years myself, and the ministers, you know, everyone that comes for a Monday night session, when I ask how many are born again, how many believers in Jesus, and their hands go up, and, you know, it's a rare person that comes that isn't born again, but then we do take them through the salvation prayer and then tell them they need to get full water baptism. But it's a high adventure, that's for sure.
Well, I've been thinking about why it's so fulfilling, and it goes down to that scripture. It says it's better to give than it is to receive, and that's the truth of our Lord. And when you do give of yourself and you give of your time, and you're a minister, which that word does mean servant, one who serves, that's very, very fulfilling, because that's why God created us, was to be the those in the church were to be servants to the people, servants to the world. And that's it is very fulfilling. And this is my answer to a few people lately that have said, I'm not sure about the demonic world or not. If anybody wants to see what the demonic world would look like, just look up some footage of what happened recently in Charlottesville. That is just a complete melee of people who are heavily demonized.
Amen.
Just watching the videos of it, I see it, and it's just you know, you see the comments on social media and people like, why would someone act like that? Why would someone behave like that? And this and that. And there, in my opinion, there is no other answer than the demons are just running amok.
Well, that's true, and it's going all over the place. And people just think it's flesh and blood, but as we learned long ago, and as Paul said in Ephesians 6, 11 and 12, we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but the demonic. Yeah. But very few people get freedom, as we know, and it's a rare thing that somebody gets deliverance and unloads their several dozen some odd spirits. Most Christians just live their lives and cope. They go to heaven, but they never did live life abundant. And it's sad, but all we can do is what we can do, and we're doing some. So hallelujah for that. The guy I ministered to today was he's a weightlifter, and he looked like it. He was certainly muscular. And as I got into ministry with him, he started yawning them out. And I finally said to him, as I often do to people when they yawn a lot, I said, do you normally sit around and yawn like this? He said, no. And, of course, I said, well, that's a sign that these spirits are coming out. He even burped a few times. And, of course, as we finished up, he felt really good. There's no way you wouldn't feel better, of course. And he did, and I'll follow up with him in a few days and see how he's doing. I asked him to be sure and check his weight, because I still remember some years back a weightlifter that I ministered to, and I happened to mention at times people lose physical weight in a exorcism or a deliverance. And I said, be sure and check your weight. Well, he says, I check my weight all the time working out. He calls the next day and said he was down 21 pounds from the night before.
Wow.
So we know we got at least 21 pounds worth.
Wow. Well, those people that do that are heavily into weightlifting and bodybuilding do keep track of that. They really do keep track of that. So I can, that's definitely a testimony you can believe. And it's just amazing. I know that after my deliverance and talking with other people, that time after time you hear it, you do feel lighter. And the lighter is because you don't have the weight of the world on you anymore. You don't have the yoke of Satan,
right.
The yoke of Jesus.
And this guy did too.
Take my yoke. Yep. So take
my
yoke.
This guy felt lighter. But it's, yeah, like a blanket of heaviness that comes off when those spirits are gone. You know?
It is, and when you perform a deliverance on somebody, or watch it, I know that I'm sure you've seen this over and over. A lot of times they're hunched over in the seat, and as you get them through, especially the breaking of soul ties, when you get them breaking through the of ungodly soul ties, you'll almost see it's like they're in a chair and it's just leaning them back. And before the night's done, they're sitting up straight with a good posture. They've got a smile on their face, and it's just really rewarding because you see almost instantly. Instantly, within just a matter of 30, 40 minutes into it, the change of people. Well, we do have our first caller on the line. We have Brother Howard from Alaska. Howard has been a longtime member of the ministry who's gone through our gone through deliverance himself, has gone through the training on many times with us out in Oklahoma City, and has performed several deliverances himself. Brother Howard, are you there?
Yes, bro. I'm here. Everett, hi.
Well, yeah.
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I hear you great. I want to know something, Howard. Howard, are your feet warm?
Yes, they are.
You see,
feet are warm.
Howard's at Howard's
not that cold,
foot, Alaska. Well, that's pretty warm, but I went on Google Earth to find out where
it is. 58 degrees, yes.
Yeah, we're 84 here in Oklahoma, but I found Coldfoot, Alaska on Google Earth earlier when you told me where you were, and didn't look like a lot of activity around there. It was pretty bare.
it's up above the Arctic Circle. Yeah.
Yeah.
About 60 miles north of the Arctic Circle.
Yeah, my goodness. About halfway, I noticed, from Fairbanks to Prudhoe Bay.
Yeah, it's exactly halfway.
Yeah. I can see that on the Google Earth.
Praise the Lord. Before, it was 500 miles without any phone service. So.
Yeah.
This is a blessing.
Yeah. Well, Howard, maybe you could give us, you've been on before, but it's been a while, and maybe you could kind of give some history on yourself and how you learned about deliverance.
Everett, or?
Well, yeah, we've got about 15, 20 minutes.
Brother John had sent me this book, Scriptures from America, and asked me, this doing the supernatural works of Jesus, and asked me what I thought about it, and I read the book, and we had a granddaughter that was probably 3 years old at that time that was always angry or pouting or never happy. So after reading the book, I went right upstairs and applied what was in the book to her. And within a week, she's smiling and happy and has been ever since. So it's
praise
the Lord for that.
Hallelujah.
Since then, I've done...
Praise God.
I went through it myself online the first time, and then I went to Oklahoma City, and Everett went through deliverance with me and cast out things that I didn't even know I had. Weeks afterwards, I'm going up and down the road up here, and I'm going, there's something different. I always drank, always had a problem with alcohol, but it was controllable. And what I learned to find out that even the desire went away. So, I haven't had a drink in, I don't know, 8 months now, I think. It's been a long time, anyhow, from what I know, and don't care if I ever do again. Praise the Lord.
You get your fulfillment through Jesus, amen?
Amen. I've done a few deliverances up here. Me and Brad did one last weekend. A lot of burping and coughing going on, so we'll praise the Lord for that. I'll check with them when I get in and see how they're doing. That was a husband and wife, so that was a blessing.
And some of them, Howard, may be good to come on the show sometime with their testimony.
Yes, I would think they would. Brad's going to be down there this weekend, I think, and talk to Brad about them. Yeah. I think that would be good. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brad's doing well. So, yeah.
Well, I figured you guys would be setting Fairbanks, Alaska free before long.
We're hoping. We've talked about getting a building or an office space or something so we could do it outside our home. We haven't got together on it yet, but... the three of us are going to try, I think, to do that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, there might be a church somewhere they'd let you use a room.
Go ahead, Everett.
I was saying there might be a church up there that would let you use a room, perhaps.
Now, I have a friend that's a minister. And I need to get a hold of him. He lives 23 miles out of town, so I need to get a hold of him and talk to him. He has a church in town there, a small church. So I don't know what kind of arrangements we could make with him.
Yeah.
The trouble with us is our schedule. Two of us are truck drivers, and one of us is and Brad's an inspector and iron worker. So.
Right.
Yeah, it seems like I'm always gone while they're in, or the other way around.
Yeah.
But it's working.
Well, the Lord will coordinate.
It's all coming together.
The Lord will coordinate it. So, are you finding people are starting to kind of learn about this, and they find they rise to it?
Now, Danny's real interested in it. He is. I've got a guy named Tony that wants to go through it again. He's got some problems. I don't know how many books I've given out. There's people down on the dock where I have the boat that I've given books to and asking questions, but I haven't been down there in a month, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on the dock. Wherever you go, you could bring this up, and people will relate with it. There's a need for it everywhere.
Well, there's people that are looking for answers. They haven't found them.
They are
reaching out and
they're
finding
hunting,
them. The Lord will coordinate
hunting,
them.
But nobody's shown them anything.
Exactly.
That's why we wanted a place out of the house, you know, with all the kids I've got at the house, grandkids and stuff and all. And Brad's got a house full. So we're just, Terry was fixing up a room in the back of his house for it.
Yeah.
So we'll see what progresses here, but all three of us need to get together. Talk about this.
And what you'll find is showing yourselves approved as you are, the Lord will actually coordinate people to you. They are out there. There are people out there praying to, Lord, help me with these problems.
And he will
coordinate them.
I had a guy at the end of the dock selling his boat, and I wasn't hunting for a boat or anything. And something told me to go down there, so I went down there, and I talked to him for a little bit, went back to the boat, back to my boat. Then a little bit longer, the Holy Spirit led me to go back down there and take pictures and stuff. So I'm talking to the guy, and you could see the hurt in his eyes. Very distinctive hurt. And we got talking, and he had back surgery 2 years before, and he's in so much pain that he can't use the boat anymore, and that's why he was selling the boat. I took my hat off, and I had my anointing oil with me, and all I did was ask him, I said, you are a Christian, aren't you? And he says, oh, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. And I took my hat off, anointed him with oil, and prayed about the pain and the mistakes the doctors had made or whatever. I don't know exactly what I did say. Anyhow, after we got done praying, he says, well, what about the boat? I said, oh, we'll talk about the boat later. And I went back down to my boat and went out with my stepdaughter. And we see his boat out there 2 days later. never got to talk to him again, but I see him on the dock, and he's running around like a 13-year-old. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
So it's good to take it anywhere you go. People need it.
There's hurting people everywhere.
And the Holy Spirit will lead you to go where you're supposed to go. There's not any doubt
Amen.
In my mind.
Amen. That's great.
Yeah.
That's exciting. That's really exciting.
Yeah. And the people behind me, they actually have one of your books now. She wanted one of your books, and he's having problems. He is a Vietnam vet, having problems with like shell shock and stuff like that, you know, anxiety attack, I would call it, more than anything else. When something happens all of a sudden, he goes into this big anxiety deal. I got to get back
probably,
down there. They wanted to talk more.
He'd be a good candidate, Howard, for inner healing, and with those experiences he had, and
right,
you know, go
right.
through those inner healing steps.
Inner healing. You bet.
Yeah, go through the
you
in
bet.
The book there in the inner healing yeah. steps. That would really work well with that.
I see you're
background.
Busy down there. 22 Monday.
Well, no, we had, Richard said he finally figured out we had 26, which included some others that were going earlier.
It is getting around that people are coming to the fact that they need help, and we're supposed to be there to help them. He sure helped us.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I can put you to work.
We will
cast it off. See, you're not coming down. Brad's going to be down here, so maybe I can put him to work as a minister on Monday night.
Bet. You bet. Yeah, Brad's real good at it. Yeah. We did a couple of
We were shy of ministers. We had to.
Brad's real good at it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, we seem to work well together. So we've been doing them together up here.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm. And then this last one was Danny and his wife, so they wanted to do it together, so it seemed to work out well.
Yeah, you can do groups ministry. I like the one-on-one best, but gosh, the groups that we've done, it's surprising how well it can help sometimes.
Right,
times I've wondered if it
isn't
even better.
I think they wanted to do it together because they had heard what Terry and his wife had interchanged some spirits there. Was one up here and one down there when you went through them down there. They just wanted to make sure they did it together so there wasn't any lingering spirits between the two.
Uh-huh. That's good. So did it go well? That was with Terry, you say?
I didn't get that ever. What did you say?
Who was that with?
Danny and his wife.
Who?
Me and Brad did the deliverance for them, but they just wanted they wanted to do it together so there wouldn't be any transferring of spirits between the two.
Right. I didn't get who it was. Is it somebody I would know?
What he's talking about is last spring when we brought some men down, a gentleman had to come, and you had done two deliverances on him, and then the first night, you'd get the head demon, got everything cleaned out. The second day, you did the head demon technique again, and this time Jezebel revealed itself. And you asked, why didn't you reveal yourself yesterday? And the demon had said, I wasn't there. I came when I talked to his wife on the phone, transferred over that. So what he is saying is these people had heard that story, and they didn't want to that to happen, so they wanted to get it knocked out at the same time so there wouldn't be any transference or any kind of familiar spirits bouncing back and forth between a husband and wife because one was set free and one wasn't. So that's
got it.
That was coming up with.
Wow. So, that's why they wanted to do it together, which was fine.
Yeah. Praise God.
Yep. But no, it sure has been a blessing to my life. Every time you go up and down the road, you figure out something else that you're missing that was bad in your life, which is great. Yeah, it's a great feeling.
Amen.
Howard's brought up a great point. If you spend any amount of time just talking and listening to people, you can see the hurt in people just by talking with them. And
I see it
more so now that I've been trained in deliverance, and you can sit there and talk with people and talk a little about it, let them know that you're a deliverance minister. And there's something about when you use that term minister, they automatically perk up and think almost like they say doctor. But people don't realize
we can do this. It means
servant,
all the glory to go to him, it worked out really well. And you can't shrink back about it, you know.
I haven't talked to really anyone who has not been receptive to it in some way or another. It is like it is with Howard. Sometimes it's hard to coordinate to get with them. One of the reasons I wasn't going to be on last week is I was supposed to do a couple of ministries. But for whatever reason, they both backed out. They didn't get a hold of me. I mean, I know what the reasons are. There was things stirred up, and they weren't quite ready. But the Lord will send them to you. There's no doubt about that. The Lord will send them to you. We gave the testimony of the lady that had my business card flow up to her feet, and she had called me again 2 days ago and wants to make sure that we get some ministry. She called up really, really hurting, looking for a scripture and needing some prayer, and I gave her the what seems to be Everett's favorite scripture. I gave her Luke 10:19, and we exercised those quieted those demons there of anxiety that she was dealing with at that point. So,
hey, great, Carol. Yeah, I see that you were talking about it here. I don't remember where I read it, but that car blew at her feet. She's sitting on a curb or something.
Yeah, she was sitting on a curb, praying that the Lord would send her someone to help her. And my business card blew up to her feet.
Isn't that
something supernatural?
That isn't Holy Spirit work and
something
nothing
supernatural.
Yeah.
You'd have to say it's supernatural.
That is great. Yeah.
You know, another thing about faces, you can see the bitterness when people are carrying a lot of bitterness and hate. You can see that on their face, and when they finally do get in a mode of forgiving, their face changes. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, they get a glow in their face instead of the dimmel gloom feel. Yeah.
And, of course, people that come for deliverance, their faces change constantly. They look different and younger so many times. You know, when they come in, and then when they leave, they look like a different person. So that's exciting for all of us to have a part in it.
When you're able to explain to somebody that forgiveness is for you, not the person who wronged you,
you can almost
see it click.
I have done things for people that I know have wronged me but I felt so much better after I helped them that it was worth every bit of it. I don't know if you understand or not, but I do.
The way it works comes around the circle.
Forgiveness, if they don't have forgiveness, it would be real tough to have deliverance, a good deliverance, if they didn't forgive the people that have wronged them.
Well, that's exactly right. We see that over and over. You're kidding yourself if you're going to you more than likely won't even get free because the demons have such legal rights to stay with the unforgiveness. But if you did drive some out and you're still carrying unforgiveness, then they'll be back through that door.
Right.
We see it all the time. And
I would say to anybody that had that problem, I would go back through the deliverance and keep trying to forgive the people that they had a hard time forgiving.
Yes, right.
I'm blessed with a lot of free time with nothing else to bother me but drive a truck, so I can let my mind go back to everybody that I should forgive and do so.
You got plenty of time to think about it.
I think that helps me a lot to just forgive everybody that's ever wronged me. Or that I thought wrong.
Well, absolutely.
Maybe they didn't wrong me. So.
Amen.
I know that happens with me a lot. Just talking with a friend the other day, I hadn't seen for several years. We got talking about something, and it was from way back in high school. And I said to him, you know, I've never forgiven him for that. And I just said, I forgive so and so, and I bless so and so.
Isn't that something?
And
how the Holy Spirit will
something.
Bring it up to you.
Yes, it is. It is. And it's as simple as that, but saying, Lord, I forgive them. I bless them. And sometimes, lad, I'm fairly sure, Lord, they didn't mean it or they didn't know what spirit they were of at the time, and just forgive them. And it's just so simple to do that. And when you look at the command by the Lord in Matthew 18 to forgive, it says, or the Lord will hand you over to the torturers. That's the Lord handing you over. I mean, if he tells you to forgive or he's going to do that, I think it's best to forgive because when God says he's going to do something,
and the sooner the
he's
going to
do it. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Yes. So true.
Well, Howard, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, the forgiveness thing is a real big deal, you know, and people hold that in so hard in their heart that somebody has wronged them. And if they can just let go of that grief and all, they'll be released so quick it isn't fun. It's just one of the major factors of deliverance, I think, is forgiveness part of it.
Well, Howard,
I still haven't come to me.
Howard, thank you for coming on and giving your testimony. I do appreciate it. A little sad I'm not going to
we'll
see you.
We'll carry on
weekend,
and learn
but,
more and do better and
yep.
keep doing what we're
doing. We do have our other caller on the line. So, Howard, thank you for coming on and have a great evening.
Okay, God bless you, man, and hope all goes well in Oklahoma.
Thanks, Howard. Blessings
we'll
to
keep
you.
In touch with you, Al. Ever.
Okay.
God bless. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Well, I believe we have Clint on the line. Clint, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Great.
Very good.
Great.
Well, thanks for calling, Clint.
There's
a lot you can share. I'm so glad you called in, and maybe you could give a little recap of your history on how you first learned about deliverance, and then as you've grown in it, and what you're seeing, and even some about the SRA.
Oh, wow. That SRA, that's a show all of its own. But, yeah,
wow.
I'd be happy to. My name is Clint. I'm a 45-year-old aircraft mechanic. I was raised out in western Oklahoma. I was a farm boy, grew up a farm boy. I've been married to my current wife. I'm married late in life. We've been married about 6 years. And marriage was a new thing to us, and we sought out Everett's ministry out of desperation. The enemy was just setting my wife and I at odds against each other, and we were close to divorce whenever we found Everett's ministry. We were desperate for help, and I knew it was going to take extreme measures to be able to save our marriage. There wasn't anything really unforgivable. It was just uncontrollable strife. We just couldn't control it, and it was satanic. And the Holy Spirit had it on my heart for about a year to pursue or check into deliverance. Of course, at that time, I didn't even know it was called deliverance. All I knew was exorcism. Only thing I had known is what I'd seen on TV. And I remember the day I had made the decision to go, I was sitting at the computer, and Holy Spirit spoke into my heart, and he gave me the word deliverance. And naturally, Mr. Cox's website came up, and we attended his ministry and had a tremendously life-changing night, introduction to spiritual warfare, the reality that we had authority over the enemy. It lit a fire under my wife and I. We got so much joy, and I knew that I was called to ministry. 3 or 4 weeks later, I returned, started the training. And I've been ministering under Mr. Cox's direction for about 4 years. And it's been quite a journey. Everett, is there anything specifically you would like for me to expound upon that you want to share with your listeners?
Well, I was thinking with your knowledge that you're gaining more and more into SRA, that maybe you could share about that or
okay.
any other
okay.
cases that you've
right, well,
had
that's
certainly edifying.
The pinnacle of ministry right there. For many people that work in the ministry, most people don't even have any knowledge of what SRA is, actually, what satanic ritual abuse is. And in ministry of my own, receiving ministry, I've discovered that I personally have been a victim of satanic ritual abuse, and it was discovered by my continually renouncing and tearing down the strongholds of the enemy and seeking the Lord and getting closer to the Holy Spirit and just developing a deeper and closer relationship with the Lord. Well, in this process, let me give your listeners a good definition of what satanic ritual abuse is, because it can be a very complex, overwhelming thing. Satanic ritual abuse and the purpose of it is the inflicting of severe trauma on people at a very young age for the purposes of splitting the mind, because the mind has a natural coping mechanism to split in extreme trauma cases. When a child experiences extreme trauma, it's often a coping mechanism of the human mind, and every human mind is capable. And with this splitting, people, hermetic orders such as our own CIA, involved in with Freemasonry and other hermetic orders like Skull and Bones, anything that's involved with the Illuminati, they're all kind of wrapped together to accomplish all the goals of the New World Order. And this is the very purpose of the mind control programming. It makes you a slave and subservient to the instructions to the mind control programming. There's several examples of this out in the media. There's a movie by Denzel Washington that was mid-2000s called The Manchurian Candidate. And this is like kind of like the perfect soldier for the U.S. government to assassinate someone. Well, it's they would feed the programmed person a trigger word through a phone call or a message of some sort, which would automatically slip into an alter personality that the host would have no knowledge that it was even there and could commit a horrific crime. And then after the crime was committed, switch back to the host identity, and the host identity had complete deniability because they had no knowledge that anything had even occurred. And
yes,
this trauma is that is that happens at such a young age. The programming is structured and done in such a way in the human mind that the memories are all blocked. There are amnesic barriers in the human mind. And through continual ministry and the guidance of the Holy Spirit and a specialized technique, the removal of those barriers can be brought down. And by the mercy of the Holy Spirit, He only allows us to deal with things as we can handle them. And through the process of healing of satanic ritual abuse, you're basically, first off, you're trying to gain some emotional and state of mental stability for the person, because many people that come in that have been ritually abused, they've got fanatical problems going on in their lives. And the objective is to obtain some stability, spiritual and emotional, in these people, and to deal with on a long-term basis these ritualistic abuse memories that come to surface that the barriers have been torn down. And sometimes the memories are so traumatic that they're life-stopping. They're so traumatic that life doesn't go on until the memories have been dealt with and deliverance administered and healing of the Holy Spirit is administered for the wounds, the severe deep wounds that these people go through. And we're having these people come into our ministries, and we're becoming, in Mr. Cox's ministry, every once in a while we'll receive a really difficult case that just has overwhelming problems. And if you're trained any at all in dealing with being able to suspect satanic ritual abuse, many times when you go into ministry, instead of pulling up a demonic spirit, which is very easy with a ritual abuse victim, there are alter identities that have never came forth and spoken. And many times these alter identities are age-arrested children, 9 years old, 6 years old, that have had just unspeakable abuses done to them, and they have been fractured from the soul of the person, and have been yes. basically imprisoned. And this person has been living with a sense of a fractured sense of self all of their life because of these initial torments that were inflicted upon them. And through the healing of the Holy Spirit and the healing of those, the deep healing of the Holy Spirit, he can heal those inner wounds and reintegrate those pieces of people. But it's sometimes it can be a lengthy process as the memories start to arise. And it has to be done almost in a clinical setting because these people need time to grow. They need more mentorship because not only have they never been experienced or been exposed to, to deliverance, the fact of, that people can have demons in them, they're also, their identity is fractured. Many times maybe they grew up in a Baptist church or don't have a whole lot of understanding about the working of spiritual matters. So sometimes it can be in the middle of all of this trauma, you kind of also have the rearranging or the catching up of Christian theology. So it can be an overwhelming thing for a lot of these people. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing this more and more. And I think it's because there's several other ministers that work there under Mr. Cox that we're becoming familiar with the red flags of this ritual abuse that's been happening to people, and we're starting to pick up on it. And due to the fact that it has to be done almost in a professional environment to where it's a sometimes 2 and 3 times a week that they might have to go through deliverance and inner healing until they reach a point of stability.
There's some ministries around the country that specialize in SRA. Like our ministry, we have people that have been abused regularly, and they'll have altars, and we can do simple deliverance that we do with them and integrate the altars. Well, those are not SRA or satanic ritual abuse cases. Those are just typically
exactly.
some ongoing...
Exactly. Just because you have an altar that's holding pain does not mean that you've been victimized by satanic ritual abuse and you have mind control programming. It's a possibility,
right.
But the human mind is so apt to fracture in trauma that almost in all of my standard deliverance cases, I find pieces, and most often babies, infants, that are pre-verbal or children, maybe just whatever the trauma may be. And it's just a natural coping mechanism of the human mind. I worked with one gentleman, it's probably been 6 months ago. Brother Everett asked me to come in and work with him. He said he needed some additional inner healing. Well, if someone had already been through traditional ministry and they needed more additional inner healing, that was kind of a red flag for me that he's probably got some alter identities that are broken off, that are holding pain and trauma, and they need to be called up to the surface, and they need to meet Jesus and receive healing. And I went through just a very basic session with this guy, and all we did was called up altars of trauma. And we didn't speak to anyone specifically. We did it by faith. And when Jesus came in to touch and heal those altars, this man just buckled over in the floor, weeping. And and he got so much inner healing and freedom. I mean, he just wept, and it was a very touching, emotional moment. I mean, when you see people that weep that deeply from that kind of pain. And come to find out, he was a ritual abuse survivor. He met all of the criteria, and we referred him on to a specialized ministry that works dedicated to SRA victims. So that's kind of where Holy Spirit's been leading me in my ministry under Everett. I've been learning. I'm a, kind of a trainee, so to speak. I'm not completely authorized to go full depth into dealing with satanic ritual abuse, but I'm learning under another ministry, and we're planning on just doing whatever the Lord requires and trying to help everybody we can in our capacity and stabilize them when they come in crisis and refer them out to specialized ministry if necessary.
Praise God. And, you know, there's a lot more of that than one would think. While we do a lot of just basic ministry and deliverance, there's, when you think about the nation as a whole, there's a lot of that out there. And there's not very many that are dedicated to it because of the time it takes with so many of them to take them through all the those steps. So, praise God, Clint's becoming a specialist, and the Lord will send them, that's for sure. Well, Clint, any other cases to share about?
Sure. I worked an SRA case on Monday. A young lady came in, and I'm getting Holy Spirit chills, goodness. she came in, and the young lady was in full manifestation when she arrived. That was before a door-closing prayer or any type of renouncements. And the manifestation, it was a passive manifestation, but she was in manifestation nonetheless. And we had to go through a legal ground list for several spirits, Jezebel, Lucifer, Freemasonry, and do some major renouncements. And we had to do them, a gentleman that brought her with me who was in the session, brought her to the session. We had to do them on her behalf because the demon was in control and we couldn't get him to go down. He had too much legal rights, too much strength. So about three quarters of the way through of doing this satanic ritual abuse renouncement of legal rights of whichever spirit that you need to go through it with, the host identity pops up and she kind of looks around and is like, what am I doing here? And we kind of had to work at it from there. And through the ministry process, she had a 9-year-old altar that came up and was told me her job was to maintain all of the others. And naturally in the process, the goal is integration of these broken pieces, and they have to give up their pain, be willing to trust Jesus and give Jesus their pain. And when you ask Jesus to come in, he's always right there, and it's just overwhelming, the response. And, you know, with the glory of the presence of Jesus, and you usually ask them, you know, can you see Jesus? And they say, yes. And many times they're just weeping like little children, that they see him, and you can ask them, do you see the love in his eyes? And they're just weeping and crying. I've had people that when Jesus was healing these altars, they were just crying, just tears. And this wasn't the grown men that I was working with. These were little children that were inside them, that were pieces of their soul that had been broken off. And they were telling me that Jesus was talking to them. And he was hugging them and spending time with them. And in this specific case, Monday night, and this can happen quite frequently, I was asking this young altar if she had met Jesus, and she said, I see Jesus all the time. And I said, really? And she said, yes, he's the one who's hurting us. Well, that right there told me that there was a spirit of false Jesus.
That's part of the ritual game, is to have a false Jesus come in. You know, it's a false Jesus, not the real, not the Jesus arose on the third day.
And this spirit was tormenting these pieces, these children, these pieces of her soul, and his objective there was to prevent or to convince these broken pieces that integration into the host identity was not possible. And he was tormenting them, and they were living in complete fear, morbid fear. I had to work for quite some time to win to convince any of the altars to come up, because they had been so abused by this spirit, this false Jesus spirit, who had been abusing them, that it was difficult to get them up. But I finally did, and it's a wonderful thing. Dealing with the satanic ritual abuse people, just almost every one of them will manifest immediately. But what's most important in dealing with these people is dealing with them in a level of tenderness and kindness that is probably even above the standard deliverance session, because they are so broken and they are so fractured and they are so damaged and so demonized because of it, that it takes a white glove, and the love of Jesus has to be flowing through you. And he does. He's faithful to do that. But it's even more important with this level of damage that you work with people, that the love of Jesus flows through you, and healing is of the person's identity is in your heart. So
yes. And as we tell our ministers, if they run into an SRA case like this, this is beyond the normal deliverance world, and you need to get to a specialist. And like Clint is becoming, and others, and the other ministries around the country to deal with it, if it's beyond the typical average, way beyond the average deliverance. But just working with the altars and just normal abuse is pretty simple, and Jesus will do so much of that for us. Like Clint was saying, we used to try to do it ourselves and convince the altars how they needed to be born again and to come to Jesus, and it was so much easier when we asked Jesus to come and talk to them. And talk to them even about integrating, where they walk into the white light of the Holy Spirit, and it's an amazing, dramatic thing when they walk in. Most everybody would have tears watching it. Well, I think we're about out of time, Clint. I sure appreciate you sharing tonight and giving the listener some understanding of this satanic ritual abuse that's going on out there all the time in cases. So that'll give them some understanding of that.
Yes,
yeah, it's a very complex thing. It's there's people out there that are very, very hurt, and the Lord has put us in their way to help them. So going to be faithful.
Well, we're getting ready to have a storm come through here, so a cold front coming through. I can hear the thunder. But thank you so much, Clint, and I'll
be seeing you
next Monday. And
bless you. Hey, I love all you guys in your radio ministry. You guys are blessing everybody that listens, and I've met several of you personally, and you guys are certainly anointed with the Holy Spirit, and I love you.
Love you, brother.
Okay, God bless.
Well,
God bless.
Well, there we are, another hour gone through. Very informative. Very informative, Clint. He's done some really good work. Really appreciate him. He worked with me on a couple occasions, and I'm looking forward to seeing both of you this weekend.
God bless you, Ralph.
All right.
Richard.
Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing. Till it seems like every breath of hope has died.